transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread.
When we break rank, when we get out of order, when we hearken to or listen to or follow the instruction of the enemy, then there's a nature that begins to grapple with us. The same thing that happened with Adam and Eve. They fell away from God. They became ashamed. They became afraid. They became subject to the lower elements. Amen. Amen. They left their position in God, that order, because God planted a garden called Eden, named it Eden, the delightful place. See, when there's order, there's delight. Amen. When there's order, there's delight. When things are in order, in God's order, there's delight. Versus things that are all out of order. Sometimes people get used to disarray, disorder. And internally, they're all out of order. But God is a God. Amen. So, just food for thought concerning the first garden. Because God's going to take us back to origins. Amen. Amen. But what happened, God had to come to bring things back into order. Amen. That's what, thank God for miracles. Amen. Some of us are walking miracles. Amen. But you are on a deathbed and God brought you back to where you belong. Amen. You understand? So now everything is in order. Now let's take a look at this. Well, let me read verse 18. To whom art you like? To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Now, isn't that interesting? Yet shall you be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. Now it flips back. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. But yet now, I know the joker he was describing here. Amen. Is a spirit. Amen. The trees of Eden. So can we imagine that? Can you image that? Because again, imagination is how the enemy has gotten such a stronghold and created a system on this earth, which is the Lord's earth. He has this old broke system that's all messed up, but it's been through people's imaginations, images, what they see, what they say, what they fear, what they create with their words, just as Adam and Eve, when they agreed and listened to him and ate, I'll say, from his table and agreed, they heard the words he said and they took on the nature. See, one of the indications of the devil's nature, and you can see that in the third chapter, how they took on his nature, when God came looking for him. First of all, they were hiding from God. You know, let me say this way, not all unsaved people, most unsaved people don't want to go to no church. Listen to the gospel for what? I don't believe that stuff. That's a nature. But another indication was when the Lord said, who told you you were naked? Here's the indication. Now, y'all, some of us need to deal with this here. Here's the indication. Adam said, the woman. Lord, I need to talk to you. The woman you gave me. What was he doing? He was blaming. He was pointing the finger. How many of the lower natures are always good at that? Want to find somebody to pass the buck on. Well, if my boss on the job, or my next door neighbor, or my husband, or my wife, or my children, somebody's fault, but it ain't never your fault. Lord, the woman you gave me. That's the nature of the serpent, the enchanter. You want to pass the buck. You always want to point the finger. You never at fault. And then, okay, when he said that about Eve, Eve said, no, it's the serpent. It wasn't me, it was the serpent. There's the devil showing up again. Well, pointing the finger. Take a deep look at that in your life. How often do you point at folk and blame people for your misery? Just don't buy it. You're not responsible necessarily unless you just beat them up or something, but you ain't necessarily responsible for somebody else's attitude. You're what they call the enablers. I don't know if some of y'all read Dr. Tom's book on the name of the game, but there's Papa Jonathan has it in his book Apostolic Strategies. There's a type of person that's an enabler. They enable people. They take responsibility for somebody else's attitude because they're dysfunctional. And let me give you an example. I never saw it this way until I read that book, and then I started to look at it in the scripture too. But David, to some degree, was an enabler. Now Saul trying to kill David. David is anointed to be the king. Amen. The Spirit of God has left Saul. It's over. Just a matter of time. I never looked at it from this position, but I see it. And David had two opportunities to take him out, Amen. To stop all the foolishness, but he didn't. Amen. And so those that were with him had to suffer. Amen. All his mighty men had to suffer. He had two opportunities to put an end to it, but he enabled Saul, and he enabled Israel, even when he slew Goliath. Now this is another perspective. Tonight is another perspective night. but what he did when he slew Goliath, all of Israel was dependent on David. Now the army wasn't ready to fight. They were David. An enabler. Here's another fruit or characteristic of an enabler. When his daughter got raped, he never did anything about it. Amen. Never corrected his son. Amen. Absalom spent 2 years brooding until he killed him. And then he never did correct or come after Absalom. He just let it go. And because of that, and because of the fall, of course, the sword never left. As great a king as he was, the sword never left his house. There's one crisis after another crisis after another crisis, but it could have very well stemmed from him being an enabler. Just not setting the boundaries, not bringing the correction, not dealing with the issue. And I understand, especially as fathers or as mothers or as leaders, there are times we have to set boundaries. Like my sister used to sometimes tell her sons when they were little, I think it was her, but she said, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. They couldn't figure that out. But I can kind of understand, because you don't want to have to correct necessarily, but that's part of the responsibility to nurturing. God doesn't even play to your moods, to your carnal stuff. God, he'll do right by you, but you're not going to just manipulate God. Oh, Lord. Lord says, shut up. Go to sleep. Don't even try to pray. Just go on to sleep because I ain't listening. Amen. God wants us to have pure hearts. So let's take a leap into another garden. Now that first garden was Eden, the delightful place. Tell somebody that's where I'm going. heaven on earth. Come on, anybody ready for some heaven on earth? Well, it starts with order. When you get yourself in order. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of regiment or in some kind of army where you march in, you know, uniformly. I don't mean that. I mean, order in your house. Your mind is at ease. You're not striving. You're not carrying offense. You're not jealous. You're not power drunk. You're not after authority that doesn't belong to you. You're not trying to get your inheritance before the time. Come on, you're not pushing your way to the top. You're just glad you're content in whatever state you are in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're just moving with the Lord. The joy of the Lord is truly your strength. Come on, that's order. See, except the Lord build the house, you're laboring in vain anyway. Amen. If you're trying to build it yourself, you're building on sinking sand. And tell somebody, stop being a men pleaser. Be a God pleaser. And then people will be pleased. The Lord corrected Martha. Not my wife. The Martha in the Bible. Let me make that plain. For the record. Jesus was coming to the house. Right? Now we probably all will be nervous. You know, Jesus, the big G is coming. He's to the house. You want to make sure everything is right. You go out of your way a lot of times, overkill. And when he arrived, Mary said, bump all this. I'm sitting down at the feet. But Martha continued to serve and continued to do, and then got to where, of course, you know the story, where she got disturbed that her sister wasn't helping her. See, she was still serving everybody. Amen. It wasn't just Jesus. So she was, in a sense, a men pleaser. Yes, wanted to make sure everybody knew. Yes. You know, everybody, you know, I got this going on. Everybody. It wasn't just Jesus. Because Jesus said, you're cumbered and troubled about a lot of things. But Mary has chosen the good part that won't be taken from her. Let me paraphrase. So sit yourself down. Be still and know that I'm God. I say that to say, let's not, you know, when we please God, we want to do our best at everything we do. We're not going to do stuff halfway. Nobody likes food half cooked, I hope. You know, or any, you don't like anything halfway done. You don't like anything halfway done, do you? You want it done properly. When we're serving God, he says in the word, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto man. Because see, man will have your mind messed up. You'll be mad at them because they ain't helping you. You'll be mad because why ain't that one doing nothing? Because they're lazy. That's why. You ain't got no jurisdiction over that.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.trbanks.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.
Is your financial strategy in tune with your values? At Thrivent, we believe money is a tool, not a goal. Thrivent is a holistic financial services organization that helps you achieve your financial goals and put your purpose into action. You can reach us at 772-408-0771.